Welcome to Ask and It Is Given. For almost 20 years, Esther and Jerry Hicks have brought forward the evolved consciousness collectively known as Abraham to audiences worldwide. These energies speak through Esther as they answer questions and offer teachings from their non-physical perspective. In the next hour, you'll hear Esther Hicks and Abraham explain many powerful laws of the universe and answer questions from audience members. Today's show was recorded in Atlanta, Georgia in 2001.
When you are in the mode of asking, you are almost always embroiled in a whole lot of contrast that is in fact necessary to give birth to the desire. But once the desire is born, going back and giving birth to it some more is counterproductive. And what we really want you to hear is, once you launch your rocket of desire, the universe has received it, it is done. Now your work, and if we were standing in your physical shoes, we would consider it our immediate work, would be to jump right to step three, the receiving mode, which means you've just got to begin to feel good as fast as you can. Because when you are feeling frustration, you're not in the receiving mode of something you want. When you are feeling blame or fear or anger, you are not in the receiving mode of what you want. You always feel good when you are in vibrational harmony with that which you desire. Good. We are eager to talk with you about anything that is important to you. You will discover a very nice unfolding here. We've received fully that which you are about. We can feel the vibration of you. You will notice as you are listening here today that there will be some who will articulate your question magnificently, even better than you may. And the nice thing about having someone else ask your question is that you may very well be in the receiving mode when the answer comes. Sometimes when you're the one asking the question, you're still in step one. And even though the answer comes forth, it's harder for you to hear. So sometimes you will find yourself appreciating that others are asking your question. As we proceed here today, we'll ask you to let us know if you are wanting to come forward. Raise your hand and we'll pick from among you in an order. As we choose you, and you recognize that you've been chosen, if you'll stand for just a moment so that there is no confusion about where Esther's finger is pointing. It seems to point at a lot of people all at once. And it is our promise to you that there is nothing that you are wanting to know that will not be fully addressed on several occasions here today. Good. You're ready to begin? We'll start right here. One. We'll come back to you. You'll be two, if you'll stand, yes. Nearly in the back, if you'll stand right here. You are the one, yes, good.
I believe that my topic is relationships. And I want to dialogue with you for the purpose of bringing my vibration more in alignment with my desires around relationships. I experienced several events this year that really delicious contrast, we'd have to call it, because, boy, they really got me looking at myself and who I am in new ways. We have an internet business and a community related to our business that come to message boards. And a small group of them decided it would be fun to break into the backside of our site, our server and our site, for reasons that are their own, and mess with our settings and do whatever it is that they wanted to do, which resulted in our site dying at one point. We built it up again, and our message boards dying at one point, and we built them up again. And these were people, some of them, who were close enough to us that they had access to the passwords that we used before they decided that they wanted to go the direction of mischievous playfulness. And there are aspects of myself that absorbed and integrated it and moved on and loved the challenge and the adventure and the learning that I've gained through it. And the place where I continue to do that thing that I do, there's two areas. One is I want to understand why it happened, and I know that that keeps me focused on it as opposed to just letting myself line up with the rocket of desire that came from it. And the other area is when I anticipate these people wanting to come back to the community, I feel apprehension and obligation. Obligation, I think, being one of my main vibrations that got me wrapped up in it, in the distress to begin with. My sense is that I love to be an uplifter in a very impersonal kind of way. Because my freedom is so important to me, I tend to like my interactions with people to be short and fun and lively and happy, and then I travel along my merry way. And I get caught when I start to feel obligated, when I feel them wanting more from me than I prefer to give, and I feel obligated, and I give it until I get irritated, and then I, in an irritated way, you know, send them along.
It's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because as you are interacting with other people, there is quite a bit of variety in that which you prefer.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that is most fascinating about co-creating, which is coming together with others, is that all of you are multifaceted. So you may have one point within you, one vibrational emitter, that really lines up with a point in another, but you may have other facets that do not.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to chew around this just a little bit, because there is so much that you are offering here, and there is so much value for so many as we walk not so gingerly, but rather boldly through this conversation.
Good.
Now, one of the things that we notice as we watch so many of you in your interpersonal relationships is that you forget the most important part of this business of deliberate creation, and that is, remember that you are a vibrational offerer that is always being matched. So when you realize that you are a vibrational offerer that is always being matched, then you don't have to worry about what else is out there. You only have to pay attention to what you are offering vibrationally, which will be matched.
Right.
So you don't have to worry about whether there are aspects of people that might touch you in a harmful way, because if you're not lining up with them vibrationally, even if those aspects exist, they would not touch you in a harmful way. It is, in fact, your guardedness that makes you line up with those aspects of those people that you feel guarded about. You said earlier that there's a part of you that wants to know what caused this. Mm-hmm. How did it come about? And we want to give you something else that we think is more powerful first, and maybe it might even be powerful enough that you don't need to go back and then address that. And that is that you never get it done, and you cannot get it wrong. And the reason that those two statements are so important, and the reason that they tie together so powerfully, is the reason that you can never get it wrong is because you never get it done. So even though you may stand in a place that feels like you've gotten it wrong because it isn't done, it can't really be wrong, because now from your now more information, as you so eloquently stated, from this new wanting, from this new information, from this new more powerful emanating of desire, all you have to do is line up with your new desire and everything else will come into alignment. So what you are grappling with here is the thing that all physical humans in their interaction with each other grapple with. It's how can I maintain my own vibrational countenance and not be affected by the vibrations of those that I'm allowing myself to observe? Mm-hmm. And we think that you've been through this before, and we think that it is the reason, in fact, that you've come so clearly to the determination that you like short, quick, happy, brief interactions, because when you don't let people get too close to you, they can't get in too deep. And you've had experience in the past where the deeper in they get, the more trouble they cause you. And so you go into relationships relationships of all natures, but especially in this situation of a business nature. You went into this relationship with that guarded vibration within you because you've been there before. Mm-hmm. And so we think it would be enough to say, well, what caused it is that vibration of having been there before and that soft memory of having been there before, and you never really dealt with that memory of having been there before. Instead, you just said, well, I'll just choose brief, happy, peppy relationships. But then you got entangled into something that required much more. In other words, more time, more people. The nature of the situation caused you to make decisions that sort of violated that other decision that was within you. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing that we think would help you to clean all this up so that as you move forward, you will not have another experience and another experience that matches it. And that is in recognizing that while it may seem prudent to feel guarded about those that get in too close, it never works anyway, because the more guarded you feel, the more they get in close relative to the things you feel most guarded about. In other words, it's just the way law of attraction works. So instead, what you're wanting to say is, I don't need to feel guarded because I am the maintainer of my vibration. Esther said to Jerry a few weeks ago, after listening to so much on the television that was so upsetting, and she knew she was being drawn into it, and not wanting to go there, but still going there more than she wanted to, and feeling a little less good every day that she did it. And then she said to Jerry one day, wouldn't it be nice if our guidance system was so strong that it sort of like hit us over the head rather than these soft, subtle little negative emotions? In other words, don't you think it would be nice if every time you thought a thought that was really not going to lead somewhere that you wanted to go, that was sort of like electrocution or something, where so you just don't go there? And Jerry did not wholeheartedly agree with her, but he got the sense of what she was talking about. And then the television was on while she was fixing dinner, and then they had dinner in the motor coach, and now Esther is washing the dishes. And as she's washing the dishes, she gets this horrible knot in her stomach. It is so strong that it almost doubles her over. And she wipes her hands and goes into where Jerry is, and she says to him, how are you feeling? And he said, better, before you came here and asked me that. And Esther said, I was just wondering if we ate something inappropriate. I'm feeling really, really bad. And Jerry began to smile, and he said, let's go talk to Abraham. So they went into the front cabin of the coach, and Esther did her best to relax a little bit and got feeling better. And then Jerry said, Abraham, what's happened to Esther? And we said, she's been listening to the television regarding the subject of anthrax. And while she was washing the dishes, she thought of all kinds of terrible things that could be done with it, spending about 5 minutes in anticipation. And her earlier wish was granted. In other words, you get to choose the level of sensitivity you have to your guidance system. And when you choose to be very sensitive, then when you come across a guarded thought, that's what Esther mm-hmm. was on, different subject, but same subject. Mm-hmm. When you come across a guarded thought and you can tell early on that you don't want to go there. In other words, don't you remember having conversations when you were younger, or don't you hear the youngsters even now saying, oh, let's not go there? Isn't there some subject in your life experience that you recall that now you've trained yourself just to not go there because you remembered you didn't like it, you remembered that it didn't feel good every time you thought about it, and now you're relieved that you hardly ever think about it? And don't you feel sort of strong and sure when that subject sort of wafts through the airwaves and you begin to pick it up, and then you say, oh no, I'm not going there, and you choose something else?
Yes.
And so that's the thing that we're wanting you to begin to do about all painful thoughts. And some thoughts are more painful than others, but as you stay with a thought longer, it can become more painful. And sometimes you've had experiences that are so painful that even though the vibration is still within you, you say, oh, I'm not going to go there. But then aftermath of that painful vibration is still within you. And you don't allow yourself to go there so you don't ever have those big experiences anymore. But there's enough aftermath that you could clean up if you were willing to do it, you see.
I am willing.
And so that's the thing that we think that you're really wanting to hear here, is that you felt guarded, and that's why you attracted something that was very worthy of feeling guarded about. And you don't need to feel guarded, and in fact, feeling guarded never serves you, because the more guarded you feel, the more you attract the stuff that you would be guarded about. And the only remedy ever is cleaning up your own vibration, which means finding other things that are so compelling that you go there easily without allowing much rippling of the negative vibration to get underway.
I believe this is that thing that I do. And I would appreciate it if you could help me get a feel and a sense for a shift in that vibration. You know what I'm asking?
Yes, yes. That thing that she does, you know what she's talking about? If you've been listening to us for a little while, we were saying that all of you would be in a place of receiving all that you want. You would be in a place of utter well-being if it weren't for that thing that you do. And the message there is that pure positive energy is flowing to you and would dominate your vibration if you were not doing that thing. And doing that thing is always accompanied by negative emotion. And so chew with us a little bit about the kinds of thoughts you catch yourself in the middle of when you recognize that you're doing that
thing.
Okay.
I'm on the back side of the site checking the stats, and I see that a couple of these people are on our site, and I anticipate them contacting me and saying, I'd like to come back into the community. And it takes me right back into, what will I do? How do I feel? I'm apprehensive. I'd rather they didn't. I should let them.
Well, now let's carry this out a little further. What it's saying is someone out there, you see, this is not so different than the terrorists that your world is worrying about. In other words,
right,
there are people out there with intentions to do harm, it seems. And because they have demonstrated the ability to do it before, mm-hmm, I am now afraid that they might do it again, and I'm standing in fear, not knowing when they might strike next. In other words, it has a sort of familiar ring to it, doesn't it? And so, do you believe that it is necessary for you to put protective barrier between you and your computer terrorist?
What I believe, and this is where it gets, I can use your help here. I believe several things. One, I believe that they're as wonderful now as they were when I was close to them and loving them. They're still those people. And for whatever reasons that they got involved in what they did, I don't need to know what they are, but everybody does all kinds of different things, and they're still okay people. So I believe that. And I believe that there's a part of me that feels obligated to reconnect with them, and I resist that feeling of obligation. I just like to move, frankly, you know, in my own personal life, I just like to move on.
Hear the contradiction that you're offering here.
Good.
Because what you're saying is, we want to help you to identify what that feeling of obligation is just a little bit, because the word obligation is a stinky word to you, because it almost violates a feeling of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And we have perpetuated that a little bit with you as we talk about, we want you to follow your bliss rather than doing those things that you feel obligated to do.
Right.
In other words, we would far rather that you follow your internal guidance than that you follow the guidance that others demand from you. But we want to touch just a little bit on that feeling of obligation, because could it be that part of that feeling of obligation is what the feeling of law of attraction is when you're lined up with something that matches something in another? In other words, because you just said to us, they're wonderful people. Those wonderful things that mm-hmm. drew them to me before are still there.
Mm-hmm.
And so could that attraction be what you're calling obligation? Are you getting a sense of what we're talking? Could it be that there is enough about them that I adore and enough about me that they adore, that law of attraction is bringing us together? We're just wanting you to reconsider the word obligation. Because whether you are looking at a world of humans or at a world of mass consciousness, or whether you're looking at an individual, a person, that person is like a microcosm of what the whole world is. And you said it so well, there are things wanted and unwanted in every person that you would ever know. And you call your friends those who have more that you want. In other words, it's really an interesting thing to watch Republicans and Democrats unite against terrorists. Because the common enemy makes the lines between what have formerly been their enemies much more muted. And so what we're really wanting you to hear is that sometimes when you look out into the world and you say, oh, well, there are good guys and there are bad guys, and I want to be a vibrational match to the good guys, what we want you to hear is there is not a pile of good guys out there. You will not find a clump of good guys and a clump of bad guys. What you will find is a clump of guys. Please don't misunderstand. They're girls too. you'll find a clump of humans, and in each clump called one is a multitude of variables. And we think that that's what you're helping us talk about here. Yeah. We think it is the reason that you had the experience. Because you're wanting to come to this place where you're not saying, because you wear that hat or because you've done this in the past, now I'm going to put you over there in the bad pile.
Right.
And you say, well, what's with me? Haven't I identified that they belong in the bad pile? Why is there a part of me still summoning them back? And we say, because the part of you that loves is summoning back the part of them that loves. The part of you that knows their value is summoning back the part of them that knows your value. Oh, this is really good, isn't it? So it turns out that not only is there no way of ever protecting yourself from the bad clumps, because they're not out there in those clumps like you think they are.
Right.
You have to maintain your own vibration. It's the only way. As you worry about what they might do, you're not maintaining your vibration the way that you really want to.
Right.
As you adore them, you are. And there's a part of you that says, oh, but that adoring gets me into trouble. I'm so quick to love the lovable parts of them that then I let in the not lovable parts. And we say, that can't happen. You cannot. And you say, yes, it can, Abraham. They're in the same body. I said, come to me, the lovable part of you. And he brought the not lovable part with him. And we said,
I know.
But the thing that we're wanting you to hear is, really, only the part that you are a vibrational match to will come. And so then you say, well, I don't like hearing that. I wouldn't do that to someone's website, you say. And we say, no, but you would worry about someone doing it. In other words, the jailer is also jailed. You wouldn't hit anyone over the head, but as you worry about someone getting hit over the head, you're a vibrational match to that. And it's natural as you get involved in something where you have a big investment of time and dollars and hopes and dreams. It is logical that you feel more protective.
The area where I consciously worry, I don't really care that they went into the backside of my website. I don't have anything to hide, really. It was a contrast that they destroyed my website. But the area where I worry is about being perfect myself. It touched me really deeply when you said you didn't do anything wrong. I feel like I must have done something wrong. And I also have... In other words,
there must be something really flawed within me to attract something like this?
I must have done something to generate their behavior to me. And their reaction... I got irritated, and they felt justified in doing what they did because I got irritated, because they expect me to be perfect. I expect me to be perfect. I worry about, you know, who are my real, when you said that, who are my real friends? In my mind, my real friends are the people that love me when I'm irritated, that love me when I'm one of the bad guys. Is this making
sense? Well, it makes sense, but what you're saying is, I want to be able to look at something and be really irritated by it. And I want to be able to generate that irritable vibration without activating anything like that in the people next to me or close to me.
Stay with us for more of Ask and It Is Given, a live lecture brought through Esther Hicks from the evolved consciousness collectively known as Abraham. To learn more about Esther Hicks and Abraham, visit hayhouse.com.
Are you an archive member? Our free archives area means you can listen to almost 2,000 hours of past programming from Dr. Wayne Dyer, Doreen Virtue, Debbie Ford, Summer McStravick, and your other favorite shows. You can either download the audio file to your desktop so you can burn it to a CD, or you can listen to a streaming MP3 where there's no downloading involved. Choose the best option based on your internet connection speed and operating system. So take advantage of this terrific resource today at hayhouseradio.com.
Spend a day of enlightenment and healing for the body, mind, and spirit with John Holland and Brian Weiss in Journey of the Soul. In this fascinating workshop, explore spiritual mediumship with John Holland and let Brian Weiss open the doors into the realm of past life regression. See John Holland and Brian Weiss in Seattle on September 30th. Space is limited, so order now at hayhouseevents.com.
Ooh, ooh. Laugh so hard you fall out of your chair and learn something, too, with psychic Venus Andrick.
You look like you've been shaken like a martini on the rock. You need to get more of a life for yourself.
Turn into Dear Venus, Friday afternoons on HayHouseRadio.com.
And I can look into you and those you love or want to love and dead or alive and tell you what I see and think.
Left to Tell, a New York Times bestseller, is now available in trade. This inspiring book by Rwandan Holocaust survivor Immaculée Ilibagiza is her story of how she discovered God and survived certain death by hiding in a very small bathroom for more than 3 months. This story will inspire anyone whose life has been touched by fear, suffering, and loss. Pick up Left to Tell today at your local bookstore or visit lefttotell.com.
You've seen them on Oprah, now see them live. Join heart surgeon Dr. Mehmet Oz, medical internist Dr. Michael Roizen, and a panel of experts at a powerful new all-day workshop. It's all about you. Be the world expert on your body. You'll learn powerful insights on what makes your body tick, how to lose weight naturally, and more. Five-city tour starts July 7th. Visit hayhouseevents.com for details.
And now for a HayHouseRadio.com inspirational moment taken from Louise Hay's audio CD, 101 Power Thoughts, available at HayHouse.com.
I am worth loving. So many of us were taught conditional love. Therefore, we believe that we need to earn love. We feel that we are not lovable if we don't have a great job or a good relationship or a body like a model. This is nonsense. We do not have to earn the right to breathe. It is God-given because we exist. So, too, is the right to love and be loved. The fact that we exist means that we are worth loving. I do not have to earn love. I am lovable because I exist, and others reflect the love I have for myself.
If you enjoyed this, you can find it and many other books and CDs by Louise Hay at hayhouse.com.
We now return to Ask and It Is Given, a live lecture from Esther Hicks as she channels a group of evolved beings collectively known as Abraham.
When you are very clear-minded about something, now let's start at the basis of this, because we think you have just pinpointed the part of it that's bothering you most, therefore the part of it that has the greatest gift to give you.
Okay.
And that is, whenever you are interacting with others, there are vibrations that are more dominant than others. And the dominant vibration becomes the leadership vibration. You say there are leaders and there are followers. Mm-hmm. Well, what there really are those who have focused harder and longer and more specifically than others. And so you have heard us say that all genius is attention to a subject, where law of attraction goes to work on it. And you've been a strong focuser for as long as you can remember. So, and by a strong focuser, we mean someone who focuses with very little resistance. And so in the process, you line up a lot of energy. And then when you get focused, a lot happens fast. Now, you can diffuse your focus as fast as the next one. But when you focus, you are tenacious like a dog on someone's ankle, not unwilling to let go. In other words, when you focus, you really, really focus. So a lot happens around you. And as a result of that, those that are on the peripheral, those who get a whiff of the vibration, this is happening at unconscious levels, want to be where you are. And so sometimes what happens is a stream of people will begin to flow into your experience, not really understanding the charisma that is drawing them, not really understanding what the attraction really is or why it is there, and they bring all kinds of things with them that always are a vibrational match to you in some way. And then they begin to believe that the relationship is going to be something other than it is. Every day, Jerry and Esther get many, many letters from people all over the country who want to come to Texas and work with them. And what Jerry always says is, it's not like they think it is going to be.
Right.
They think that they're going to sit around and play with Jerry and Esther and talk about the satellite dish on top of the motorhome and listen to Abraham stories. And what they don't realize is that Jerry and Esther are never in Texas. And that what is going on in Texas is a business with people manufacturing things and mailing things and typing things into the computer. In other words, and so sometimes what happens is that people are drawn to an aspect of you, thinking that that aspect of you is the whole of that which you are, not realizing that you are like them, multifaceted. And so they are drawn because of one facet of you, and then often you are locking onto each other because of other facets. The thing that we think is most unsettling to you is that it is abhorrent to you that there is any facet within you that would in any way be a vibrational match to something as extreme as that. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that we're giving you as we say, that guarded part, that memory from something that's happened before, that somebody coming in and then betraying you in some powerful way. It is the betrayal that is the strongest part of it. It is stronger even than the computer. It is stronger even than the business. It is a feeling of betrayal that is bothering you most. And there's a part of you that is afraid to really allow someone to get close to you for fear you will be betrayed again. And what we are wanting to say to you is that if you take every betrayal personally, and by that we mean people intending otherwise, people intending different things, someone just not thinking like I would like them to think.
Yeah.
We want you to realize that you're matching up with things all the time. We say to you that you are a teacher. You are a teacher of extreme proportion. You can't teach what you do not know. Your website is about uplifting. Your website is about joy. And so it's all about your finding ways to soothe yourself back into alignment. And in doing so, we don't think it will be so easy the next time for you to get out of alignment. We'd spend no time worrying about how it happened. We would welcome them back in terms of who they really are. We would focus so powerfully upon the part of them that you adore that if there's another part of them that is activated that you would not want, they won't come back. In other words, we think that they'll be more likely to want to get back into your experience if you were to worry about what happened, then if you were to forget about what happened, get on with what you're about, appreciate your agility, appreciate how quickly you got back online, appreciate how much you learned about your own website, appreciate the weaknesses that you discovered in your own infrastructure and the clarity that has come in the new rebuilding of it. Appreciate that it is, in fact, a better site today than it was then.
It is.
And in that appreciation, if they're not a vibrational match to it, they'll stay clear of where you are. And if they are a vibrational match,
welcome them.
Welcome back anyway.
Exactly.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you so much.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Such a pleasure to be here. Thank you. I'm fairly new to listening to your tapes, and I may be asking questions that Jerry has already asked, but I wanted to pick up on what we were talking about.
You know, we have never heard the same question twice.
Okay, glad.
Sometimes the words sound similar, but it is always a different question.
I wanted to pick up on the events of September 11th. Was there a specific American energy that attracted it to America, or was it really a worldwide culmination of energy that led to that
Well, it is a worldwide culmination, but any time that it happens in a specific place, it is because the vibration of that specific place was a stronger match than another place, yes. That would be like saying, so I can feel that I'm on my way to some sort of discord, but the way it manifests in my body is through the crack of least resistance or through the crack of most allowance. And so we would say where it manifested was the crack of least resistance or the crack of most allowance. It was a better vibrational match than any place else.
And how would you suggest that the situation be resolved right now? How do we get out of this attack and defend mode collectively?
Well, the most significant thing that we would say to anyone who is asking any question is don't ask for a worldwide solution to anything, because there are many vibrational dynamics that all have the right to vibrate wherever they're vibrating. In other words, it has to be an individual choice. The question that we can answer is, how do I maintain my vibrational stability in the midst of all of this? But when you say, what is the worldwide remedy, we would offer you something very soothing, and that is that everything's unfolding perfectly, that your world experience is much more in balance than it is not in balance. In other words, we would not take it upon ourselves, if we were standing in your physical shoes, to try to solve this, because what's at the heart of it is more discord than you could even contemplate. You see? In other words, when you think in terms of soothing a question or solving a question, what the means to that usually means is satisfying the participants. And you have so many participants that are determined not to be soothed. You also have to understand that there are a whole lot of people now involved in this that are thriving because of their involvement in it. They're not rooting for a remedy. They're encouraging an encouragement of it. That's why you get into trouble when you say, I think this should stop, or how can we bring this to an end? Because there are a whole lot that are deeply involved, even in your nation, that are not wanting it to come to an end because it is a step along the way toward an ending that they are preferring. What we would do is we would withdraw our attention from anything unwanted, knowing that as soon as you withdraw your attention from it, the energy dissipates. And you've heard us say for a long time, those who have been listening, that as we watch you in your physical environment, you have a war against AIDS and a war against drugs and a war against cancer and a war against teenage pregnancy and a war against, and all of these things that you have a war against get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, because the more attention you give to them, the more you feed them, because there is no exclusion. In other words, you can't shout no at something and make it go away. The more attention you give to it, the bigger it gets. And your world is having the overall experience of acknowledging that. In other words, as you're watching what's going on, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. The thing that we would like to say to you is nothing can ever get so big that it sweeps non-compliant beings into it. So you don't need to worry about it getting so big that it's going to suck you all in. Just set your tone, make yourself vibrationally different from it, and you will be unaffected by it, you see.
My last question has to do with healing. I'm a physician and rather immature at it all, and I'm amazed at what is possible. And what I've observed is that those who have a spontaneous healing are absolutely convinced that it will take place, or they see themselves, or their consciousness, if you like, is convinced that they will be whole or they are whole. Would you say that so, or how would you phrase it?
We would put it in a little bit different terminology, although your terminology is lovely, but here is the way we are explaining that. When someone is sick, out of that sickness comes an exaggerated desire to be whole or to be well. And so even if they're not speaking it with their words, it is an implied desire that emanates from them, literally from every cell in their body. And in the moment that that is so, source energy goes to work on answering that. And so the only question relative to how long will it take them to return to their wellness is how long will it take them to stop the resistance that is keeping the wellness away to begin with. And so if they are convinced in their ability to be well, then they are well very quickly. And the comment that we would like to make to you in response to what you just said is that when a person is really convinced of their ability to be whole, most of the time they don't get sick to begin with, because that belief in wholeness keeps them in the place of allowing well-being on a pretty steady basis. But then, as we were saying earlier, you are multifaceted beings and different things can get your attention. And it is not hard to get out of balance, just like it is not difficult to get back into balance. And so as they find themselves out of balance, there is just a stronger part of them that is seeking that balance. As a physician or as any healer, we would say to you in a powerful way that your value to them is in providing for them a further measure of believing in their well-being. In other words, they come to you in an exaggerated desire to be well, and as you are able to speak from your belief in wellness, and that's not hard to do if you will look worldwide at world statistics. If you are looking, and this sometimes happens to physicians, their world becomes so much about sick people that they forget that there are many more well moments than there are sick moments. And when a physician takes that turn where he begins to believe more in sickness than he does in wellness, then he is of no value to those who come to him for the discovery of well-being.
That resonates very loudly. Thank you so much.
Yes, indeed.
I've been wanting to have more free time. I've been accustomed to working a lot, maybe 60, 70 hours a week. And so recently, events have contrived to arrange that for me, so I have more free time. But I'd like the money to stay the same as it was before. So far that hasn't quite worked out. I'm still very comfortable and still, you know, everything all is well. But I do like having that much money coming into my life, and I'm wondering how to soften myself to the place where I can free up my idea that money and time are inextricably linked.
Let us give you a beginning place in that, because there are a few things that we could hear from you as you were unfolding that we want to shine back to you in a way that you can really hear it. And that is, when someone talks about free time, there is the implication of bondage time. And from our perspective, we would say you are all free to turn your attention to whatever you choose. And when you are turning your attention toward work that someone else has lined up, or when you are turning your attention to work that you are choosing, or when you are calling the work play, or when you are just calling it something to focus upon, or when you are calling it something to focus upon that summons life through me, then it all begins to be freer feeling. Very often in your physical environment, people identify the free time with, and you said it very clearly to us here today, the unpaid time. So that means the free time is unpaid and therefore not all that good. And then there's that bondage time that is paid, which would be good except that it's bondage time. So you get all this feeling of freedom and not freedom all tied in with this feeling of money and time, and it's no wonder it becomes such a scramble to you. So much so that when you are having your free time, you're feeling lazy because you're not productive monetarily. And when you are having your productive monetary time, you're not happy because it's bondage time. And we say, and then it turns out that no time really is really good time because, and so what you sort of want to do is drop all those labels and all those barriers and just begin saying, here I am, a focused being, and I can focus here, I can focus here, I can focus here, and the only thing that I'm going to use as a qualifier of what this moment in time is, not time where I'm selling myself to an employer, or not time where I'm carving a little bit of it out for myself, but this is focused time where the focus is pleasing to me or the focus is not pleasing to me. Because what we notice, we have to tell you, as we watch you, and we watch all of you, is that some of the most exhilarating time that you and others feel is when you are in your bondage time working on a project that someone else has lined up, but because of the intensity and the degree to which you are focused, some of your most life-giving, clear, focused thoughts come in that time. And you say, oh, gee, so I not only get the money from this time, but I also get the life force. And we say, we would take the money out of the equation and just start thinking in terms of life force. We would begin to recognize that there's all kinds of free time. In other words, it's all free time. And that what you're looking for, whether you're at work, whether you're working on your own website, whether you're working for someone who's employing you, whether it's temporary work, whether it's more long-term work, that in any point in time, you have the ability to focus in a life-giving way or focus in a sort of life-sucking out of you way, and you are free to choose whichever it is in every moment, no matter what you are doing. That was really good. Did you write really good?
That's
what is required in order to begin to recognize that you are the free being that you are, and that also is what is recognized in order to feel an expansion of time, because as long as you're quantifying time and as long as you're labeling it their time, my time, then you're always struggling against it. When it's your time, it feels like there's not quite enough of it, and when it's their time, it feels like you're giving too much of yourself to someone else and not keeping enough of yourself for yourself. What we've noticed, and we've shouted this from time to time as if you could all hear it better, because we are louder, it usually doesn't work that way, but sometimes we notice that the very work that you would like to free yourself from is summoning a life force through you that you may not find as clearly and purely in any other place. In other words, it is in fact the answer to what you've been asking for. So we would begin using different terminology to try to soften those barriers, because even those who are self-employed feel a slave to their work from time to time. And what you're wanting to do is just begin saying things like, I always get to choose. I choose what I do. I choose the intensity with which I do it. I choose the power of focus. In other words, there are a lot of people who go to work every day who don't focus much at all, that take pride in thinking they're getting away with something. In other words, I'm here, and they're paying me, but I'm not working. And we say, it is such a waste of life because they're not allowing what they're focused upon to draw life through them in a meaningful way. It's become a my time, your time battle instead of an opportunity to summon life through you. In time, you'll come to realize, and we know you know this usually. You don't know it so much in the framework of this question, but you know it on a broader general sense that you are a creator, which means you are a focuser, which means anything that causes you to focus is your friend. And sometimes you'll see people who are retired who almost feel lifeless because they thought that they wanted to get out there and live their own life. They just didn't have any momentum about their own life revved up. And when the other momentum let go of them, they sort of feel like puppets where somebody's let go of the string, you see. And so the happy medium in all of this is to begin to say things like, I can focus happily no matter where I am, and I am focusing happily no matter where I am, so that both time and dollars become a non-issue, and focus and clarity and alignment becomes the only issue. And then you're joyful in your life no matter what you're doing. Esther laughs at Jerry. Every Saturday, they receive a box from the office that is full of letters and accounting information and pretty much what has gone on. And he just cannot wait to dive into it. And Esther is eager about it, too. But in the middle of a seminar, she's sort of relaxed and doing her best to have no thought. And Jerry's just digging through the box, wanting to read letters and find different things about it. And she teases him about how there's never a moment that he doesn't want to think about business. He's up in the middle of the night. He's making notes to himself. And it's not because it is work that needs to be done. It is because it is life-giving in nature. And focusing there is a soothing, satisfying thing to him. And that is what we wish for all of you. We wish for all of you something that is so compelling, something that is so pleasing to you when you're focused upon it, that it's like fresh air or delicious pure water, that as you take it in, you can feel that it is reviving in nature. And that is the way your work is meant to be. And in fact, that is the way all of your work would be if it were not for resistance that you conjure. And so next time you drink a delicious glass of pure water, and you feel the pureness of it and the freshness of it and the life-giving properties of it, and as you're enjoying it, really focus upon how you are loving this taking in of this nurturing substance. And next time you open a window. Esther was in a forest in Boston the other day, and every time Jerry turned around, she was in the back of the coach with the windows open, sniffing the forest. He'd say, are you smelling the forest again? Esther would say, yes, I'm smelling the forest again. There was something about the fragrance in the air and the particular plants that were there and the currents of the wind that were moving across the ground. It was a wind current that blew right through the back end of the coach that was so intoxicating, Esther didn't want to be anywhere else. She just kept putting herself in that wind current and sucking it in because she could feel the life-giving properties of it. It was so refreshing. And as you begin to focus upon the deliciousness of the oxygen, the deliciousness of the air, the deliciousness of the water, then begin to focus upon the deliciousness of the thought, the deliciousness of the focus, and discover that it's everywhere, this nurturing focus for you. And in fact, there is no place in your environment that it does not exist when you get focused upon it. And then you find yourself eager about whatever you're doing. Everything balances out. And in the absence of resistance, more of the things that really please you come to the forefront. And more of the things that have been a little less pleasing in nature go someplace else because they're not a vibrational match to what you have revved up, you see. Yes. This is how you don't get more time. You get more perceived joyful time. And we think that's really what your question was about, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, that's exactly what I want. I find that I have an interesting experience of relationships with people. And it's really easy for me to love people and enjoy their quirks and their diversity.
In fact, the weirder they are, the more you like them.
Right, exactly. I really value quirks now. I think they're a good thing. But I find that I enjoy people a lot more from a certain amount of distance and very light interactions. And I find it more and more difficult the more I talk to people and the more I hear about their problems and difficulties
in life. Well, as we said earlier, yeah. All of you are vibrating on different subjects in different ways. Uh-huh. And there are aspects of them that you enjoy more than others. And right. So when you stay focused upon the aspects that you like the most, then that is the experience that you have. In other words, you're not meant to rendezvous with every aspect of every person. You're meant to rendezvous with the part of them that is most a vibrational match to the dominant active part of you. As you are dominantly aware of what you're doing with your vibration so that you're holding yourself predominantly in vibrational harmony with things that feel good. Now, the universe is lining you up with these others that are, in that moment at least, a vibrational match to you. Then we see you, not just you, but most of you. You come together with someone in this flash of really good stuff because the universe has orchestrated it, and you have this poignant moment or moments or day or two or week or month. In other words, you have this important rendezvous. And then the intensity of that passes, and then you say, tell me about yourself. And as you begin to mine the minefield of one another, you begin to activate all kinds of other vibrations that are not a match to what you've decided you are now going to do in your deliberate alignment of energy. And then in time, you get sort of guarded because it seems like every relationship sooner or later ends up like that. In your terms of psychology, you say, well, the good's just worn off, or, well, we've just gotten to know each other too much, or we're not on our best behavior. At first we were on our best behavior, and now we are not on our best behavior. And we say, we do not think that the majority of relationships that you come together with were meant to be much more than that flashing relationship that the universe aligned for you. But you keep wanting to make it, out of obligation, something that is so much more.
To learn more about Abraham, visit hayhouse.com to find the books, The Law of Attraction, and Ask and It Is Given by Jerry and Esther Hicks. You may also visit their website at abraham-hicks.com. Join us again next time for another hour of Ask and It Is Given.